Okay, how are we doing? How you guys? How is everybody?
Good. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, I wanted to talk about tonight. I like to try to build on things I talked about before. And if you remember last week, or last time I was here, we were talking about the power of the resurrection and how we used to be dead in Adam. Before we were in Christ, we were dead. And I don't know if we fully grasp the gravity of that, but we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh. And then it says that Christ made us alive. And how did that happen? Jesus Christ is fully God, and He is fully man. And whenever He came down to the earth, He went to the cross to deal with the thing that caused death. And what's that?
Sin.
So Jesus Christ, our amazing Creator, went to the cross to deal with what caused death, and that's sin. And He dealt with that one time. It's not an ongoing dealing with sin. Sin has already been dealt with once. And that's why you can praise Him. So, even taking it a step farther, though, He didn't stop there. He didn't just deal with sin. He rose from the dead to give us what we lost in Adam, and that's life. And the reason why we have a life that's eternal is because of what He did on the cross. Because I'm looking in the Scriptures, and I maybe have mentioned this in the past, but it's definitely worthy of repeat, that the only wage that I can find for sin is death. That's it. There's no silly theologies such as in and out of fellowship. That's just not in there. There's no God's going to take you to the woodshed, or He's going to whoop up on you because you're being a bad boy. The only wage for sin, according to God, is death. But He dealt with it one time, and one time for all. And again, there's so many scriptures that it's all over the place. I mean, but anyway, I just wanted to just lay again that foundation that the reason why we have a life that's called eternal life is because of what He did for us at the cross and then through His resurrection. And now, and then how do you access that? How do you enter into that? By faith. We accept the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus is God. He died on the cross for all of our sins. He rose bodily from the dead to give us life. He's the King and He's the Messiah. If somebody out there in the world would just believe that, that is that you are at that moment, you count that as true, you are born again. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, because now that we're alive in Christ, because now we have a new life, we have also a new identity. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to actually pass these out. I should have done this minutes ago. Hey, Brother Steffi, could you help me? Could you just one each to each person? But yeah, I wanted to talk about identity because as you get to know me, I'm really big on identity because identity is so big. I mean, a lot of people, if you ask the average person, even a believer, you ask them, you know, who are you? A lot of times they don't even know. A lot of times people just don't know who we are. And the best you can get sometimes is what the world would say is, I'm a businessman, I'm a body man, I'm a contractor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, whatever. You know, the world could give you these identities. But if you think about it, though, if our identity is only strictly in what the world says, that identity is so fickle and so fleeting. Because, okay, today I'm a doctor, right? I have hands that are necessary for me to perform surgeries and stuff like that. I'm a doctor. That is the core of my identity. Okay, then you get yourself in a bad accident, you have to lose your hands. You can't be a doctor anymore. So who are you now, friend? You know what I mean? You're not a doctor. You can't be because you don't have hands. You know what I mean? So your identity is very flimsy at best, very shaky, very... It's not solid is what I'm getting at. Like in the world's identity that we get from the world is very shallow. It doesn't last. It's not eternal. But the identity that we have in Christ, now that we have accepted the gospel and we're alive because of His resurrection, because of what He did on the cross and through His resurrection, we're alive. Excuse me, I'm just getting rid of that. So we're alive in Christ, and now we have a new identity. And for us as believers, our identity doesn't ever change. This is the beauty of being a believer. And we're going to get into some of these here, but our identity is based upon what Christ says. It's not based on what the world says. It's not based on our own opinion. It's not based on anything. I wanted to look at a chapter, Romans 3, if you'd turn there with me. Because I want to talk about the word declaration. So, as you're turning there to Romans 3, what we're talking about again is God makes the declarations. He sets the rules. He tells you what's what in every, you know what I mean? He says what it is, you know what I mean? It's not based on what we, our opinion. He says it. And where do we find it? Of course, in the Scriptures. So let's look at Romans 3. Let's just start in verse 20, and I want to work down to verse 26. It might take me a little bit here, but let's look at this. Okay, before I do that, our identity isn't based on what we do. It's based on what He has done. And this is one reason why our identity that we have in Christ is solid and doesn't change. Because it's not based on our actions, our works. It's based on His works, right? And that's why, again, you can have peace at the end of the day. You can experience joy. You can experience consistency in all kinds of ways. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, even. You know, because our identity is consistent. It doesn't change. We will always be a child of God. Always. Because we're a believer, we have accepted this Christ, this amazing God. Because we have accepted the gospel, we're alive in Christ. Our identity is that we are a child of God, and that will never change. That doesn't come and go. You know what I mean? And that again is what would give you peace and joy at the end of the day. But let's look at this passage here in Romans 3. It says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." That's a very powerful statement right there. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So this righteousness of God is by faith. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verse 24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." And this is where I wanted to get to, verse 26. "To declare," there's a declaration, "to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus." So, I wanted to look at this passage here, and you're seeing that, verse 26, "to declare." And whenever you think about the word declaration, that's like what a king does, right? A king, you know, in his kingdom sets up, you know, he the declaration. The king makes the declaration. Whatever the king says, that should be written in stone, because that is not going to change. It's the declaration of the king. So, and that's what our amazing God, you know, looks down on us because of what Christ has done, and He declares us righteous. He makes the declaration that we're righteous. And what is that? I mean, there's so much to that, the word righteous, but a big part of it is right standing. We are in right standing with our Heavenly Father, and now we can have that boldness to approach Him to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You know, I mean, we can go to Him at any time we want to, because we're as righteous. Don't throw rocks and make this sound blasphemous. A lot of people will agree with me. Some may not. But we are as righteous in the sight of God as the Lord Jesus Christ is. He gave us His own righteousness. Therefore, now we can have that intimacy with Him. We don't have to fear Him. We don't have to run from Him. We can experience that father-son, that father-daughter reinstated relationship. You know, and that's why we could have that, again, that joy and that peace. Because now we know who we are. A part of our identity is we are righteous. Not based on our actions or what we do. It's based on what Christ has done and our faith in that. And I'm telling you too, as you grab a hold of your identity, it gives you more boldness. It gives you a passion, and it makes you stand up a little straighter and taller too. Whenever you consider everything that we have in Christ, so I wanted to look at this list here that I passed out. Does everybody have one? All right, cool. And I went through this a long time ago, and this list here has literally changed my life, my spiritual life. It's helped me so much. My friends Brian and Rita, some of you may know them, printed this out a while back. They developed this list here on our identity, and I've went through it I don't know how many times. And it's just so amazing to see like all these aspects of our identity that we have in Christ. And so I just want to read some of them. We could read all of them. I don't want to belabor it, but I mean, I want to hit some of these here, though. You guys want to I'll read some, and then you guys can all. Well, you guys want to all read through some? Yeah, right off the sheet. Does that sound good? We can just however you want to go. Maybe I'll point to you. Does that work? Okay. We'll start with Dorothy. Do you want to start us off? Okay, I'm the salt of the earth. That's great. All right. And go there. Up, Steven.
Okay. I am Christ's friend. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit.
Yeah. Good, bro. You want to read? Scott.
Okay. I am the personal.
Dude, that's so fitting and perfect for you to read that. That's great. There you go. Okay, I am a servant of God. Good, good, Dorothy. Yeah, let's just take a moment just to think on that just for a second. In Romans 8, it makes a very strong declaration that we are co-heirs. Everything that's Christ's is ours. I'm still I've learned that years ago, and I still can't wrap my head around it fully to realize that everything that's Christ's is ours. We're co-heirs. We're co-heirs with Christ. And there's a passage in Hebrews that reminds me of that, where it says, you know, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Do you remember that passage? Well, I'm starting to look at that in a different way, because instead of just thinking like, oh man, what wretch we are, what is man that you're mindful of him? I look at it as, what must man be? What must we be to God that he would do all this for us? Just kind of a little different slant on that, looking at that passage, but what must man be? What must we be to our Heavenly Father that he would provide all this for us, to make us co-heirs? Whew, man, it's just incredible to think about. Okay, yeah. All right, good, Stephen. Yeah. There you go.
I am God's co-heir.
I am the temple, the dwelling place of God, the Spirit, and the place of all of you.
If the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit.
There you go. I am a new creature. Yeah, that's our reconciliation, yep. There you go. All right. Now there's another one too we could stop and look at. Because okay, here let me talk about that just for a moment. Because I've heard, you've talked to friends in Christ, believers that sometimes they have this mindset that I'm just a dirty sinner saved by grace. And I understand the verbiage. I understand that, but it's not true. We're not just dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace. We were sinners before we were in Christ, yes. But now we're saints. I mean, all over the place, the Scripture talks about how we are saints. And Paul's referring to Corinthians, for example, 1 Corinthians 1. He's calling them saints. And if you look and read through and study through Corinthians, they were not perfect. Like, they didn't walk like you would think a saint walks. You know what I mean? They had, all kinds of issues in the church. But what did Paul refer to them as? Saints. Why? Because that's who they are. And Paul knew that if he could get those saints there to realize that they are saints, that their actions and attitudes would start to change based on your identity. And that's another reason why identity is so important, because it changes your attitude. It changes your... Ultimately, it starts changing your actions when you realize and start believing everything that we are in Christ. Yeah. Good. Scott?
That's right.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah, you have to die. Yeah, right. Right, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, but, yep. It's, we receive it. Yep, amen. Yep. So we can boldly declare that we are saints. I remember talking to a friend, and he wasn't into it. Whenever I was like, he's like, no, we're just, no, I said, friend, yeah, I understand you do have sin issues. I understand that. That's not... That doesn't identify you, though. That's the whole point, that you're not identified with what you do. That doesn't identify you. If it does, then it's very sand. It's, you're building your foundation on sand if you're building your identity on your on what you do. You know, we're not. Our identity is not based on what we do. It's based on what Christ, our God, did. And again, that's what gives you that stability. And again, that reassurance, that boldness, that joy. Yeah, so we're saints. We are saints of the Most High. Let's see. The next one. Who's go ahead, Aaron. Oh, Stephen.
I am a fellow citizen of the rest of God's kingdom. I am a prisoner of Christ. I am grateful.
That's right. Amen, brother. Yeah, that's great. Yes. Praise the Lord. That passage there in Philippians is such a great passage. That has gotten me out of so many mental binds, so to speak. Like whenever you sometimes you take stock of yourself and you're like, this maybe everything I'm doing isn't quite consistent with who I am. But that passage there makes a very strong, again, declaration that God, it says He will perform the work until the day of Christ. So that's another thing that can give you that reassurance, that peace, to know that He's going to complete it. What do? We just let Him do it. You know, like by faith, just walk by faith one moment at a time in this Christ. Let him complete the work. Yeah, amen. There you go, that's it. Yep. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There you go. That's it. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Oh, let me pause there just for 1 second. Another a great thing to consider is that in Colossians 3, that passage there, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Oh, set your affection on things above. Hold on, let me go there. I have it memorized. I just can't remember right now. But anyway, Colossians 3. This is definitely worth looking at. If you want to turn with me there. Colossians 3. It's right after Philippians. Okay, yeah. This is it. Okay, Colossians 3:1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, what's it say? Who is our life, appears, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And I wanted to just pause there for a second just to talk about this, that again, what we're talking about here is identity. And it says right here very clearly that Christ, who is our life, He's our life. You know, a lot of people say, you know, well, you know, God first, family second, business third. You know what I mean? And again, nothing, I understand that. But you know, you put God on a priority list. God isn't put on a priority list, friends. He's your life. This is, Christ is your everything. Christ is your life. It's not that you put Him on a priority list and get around to it when you can. It's He's your life. He's just, you live and breathe Christ. You, everything about you is about Christ, you know? And because He's your life.
To live is Christ. To die is gain.
To live is Christ. To die is gain, yeah.
No part of you that's not you that...
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And in verse 2 it says, set your affections.
Yeah.
Singular.
Yeah, there you go.
There is no. Set your affections. Now there's only one.
Nice.
There's no other. You don't go, oh, I like God and I like ice cream too.
Right.
It's
right.
God, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing else. Woo.
Yeah, man, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's great. I haven't seen that before. That's good. Yeah, set your affection. Ooh, who's our affection? Christ is our affection. Why? Because He's so awesome. I mean, He's like, His love for us is like beyond our comprehension. You know, His goodness and His grace is, He is just so worthy of praise. Because He is... He's good. He's great. He's awesome. And if you ever doubt His greatness and His goodness, just look at what He did for you. You know what I mean? If you ever struggle with, man, does God love me in this, or you know, am I accepted? Look at the cross and be reminded. He demonstrated His love for us to prove it, to show us His love for us. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, set your affection on things above. Well, that's good, man. Thanks, brother. That's good stuff. All right, let's see. Where are we at? I'm hid with Christ. In God, okay, I am, okay, where are we at? Oh, go ahead, yeah, Gary, Kathy.
I've chosen God,
holy, there you go, all right.
I am a son of light, not of darkness. That's my name.
Yeah, son of light. Oh, yeah, all right. Oh, hey, cool.
I'm holy for the heavenly Father.
Yep. Yep. Sorry. I'll try to keep your attention.
No, no, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any moment.
Yep.
Because I am a partaker of Christ, and here is life.
Yep.
I am one of God's goodness, so being built up in Christ, and the Spirit come out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yes. Member of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And again, it's like, what is man that you're... What must man be? What must we be that He would make us His inheritance, His possession, His royal priesthood? What must we be? I mean, what love is this? You know, I have a book, it's called What Love Is This? And it's pretty good to consider. Like, what love must this be that drove our Creator to a cross to deal with sin and then raise from the dead to give us life? What love is this Creator? God is love. You know what I mean? Like, to know the height and depth and width and the breadth of the love of Christ, like it talks about in Ephesians 3, it says, to know this love that passes knowledge. And it says if you grab a hold of this love, it says you would be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's the word to be controlled by, is this love.
Yeah. How can it be?
How can, yeah, amen. That my God would die for me. Whew. Amen, brother. All right, let's see. I am an alien and stranger to this world in which I, thank God, temporarily live.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. That's right. That's right. There you go.
I'm not afraid I am, but the
Okay, so these next ones here, again, continuing with our identity on the next on the back of your paper, it says, "Since I am in Christ by the grace of God." Go ahead, Aaron.
"I have been justified."
Yes.
"Completely forgiven."
Amen.
"Forever."
Yep.
"And made righteous."
And made righteous. Amen. There's no questions anymore whether or not we're our right standing with God is never to be in question. You're in right standing with God because of what He did. Yes. Amen. Yep.
"I'm free forever from condemnation."
Amen. Now we missed one there. I'll just read it. It says, "I died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life." Yep. Amen. That's right. Yep. And touching on that real quick, I like that. There's one passage in Romans 6:14. It says that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Why? Anybody know by chance what it says? Yeah, that's all right. "For," it says, "we are not under the law, but under grace." Now, I mean, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. But, I mean, that's why sin has no longer mastery over us, because we're not under the law. We're under grace. Grace is what teaches us. Grace is what leads us and guides us, changes us from within. The law can't do it. The law cannot make you sin less. You know what I mean? The grace of God will teach you not to. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah? All right. Cool. Okay, let's see. "I've been given the mind of Christ." Is that yours, Aaron?
"I have been given the mind of
Christ." The mind of Christ. Amen. Steffi? Oh, "I have been bought." There you go. Oh, I just skipped all the ladies over here and Stephen. Oh, okay. Whoops. You got it, bro? Steffi? Yeah, go ahead. Why not? We're out of order. Yep. There you go. Amen, brother. Amen. "Since I have died, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me, through me. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who" what? "Who loved me and gave Himself for me." This is how we live now, by His faith. Him living His life in and through us. Yep. Okay, Dorothy, you're up. There you go. Yep. Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Absolutely. And what's that look like? That looks like love, joy, peace, patience. You know, the fruits of the Spirit start developing in you as you realize everything Christ has done, and that He has the full expression of living that out in our daily lives. Because that's the ultimate goal. You know, because a lot of people get like, what do we do now that we're Christians? What do we do? Well, it's to let Christ love now through you. And what's that look like? Love is what? Patience. Love is kind. Love is, you know, not envious. Doesn't keep records of wrongs. And, you know, all these things. You know, this is what it is. This is what we do. We allow Christ to have the full expression of loving through us. And it says that love is what? The fulfillment of the law. The ultimate goal for us as believers is to allow the love of Christ, receive it by faith, and be just a channel, and then just let it flow into other people's lives. Yeah. It's not grueling. It's a joy to love people, to be patient and kind, because it's not you doing it, it's Christ doing it. Yeah. Scott. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen, brother. That's right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, because what it boils down to is, are you going to believe him or not? You know, are you going to believe what Christ has done for you or not? That's the ultimate question, you know? It's either you're going to function by faith or you're going to function in just blatant unbelief. You know? So walk by faith in the fact you are forgiven. Walk in that. Believe it. Rejoice. Yes. We have been justified, completely forgiven, and we have been made righteous. Yeah. Amen. Okay, I'm not sure where we're at. Stephen, I think. All right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Whew. Yes. I have direct access to God through the Spirit. To the cross, dealt with once and for all.
I'm firmly rooted in Christ now, built in
him. I have been spiritually circumcised. My old unregenerate faith that's been removed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I died with Christ and I have been raised up with Christ. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. Christ is now my life. Yeah. That's a big one. That's a big part of our identity. That I'll just read it. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly." It says boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And when do we need grace to help? All the time. That's right. All. What?
Anytime,
yeah, when you're awake, when you're conscious. Yeah, so, I mean, this is a great promise that we have, that we can come to the throne of grace with boldness to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And that is a part of our identity, that we have this boldness and access to God by faith. And that's why we can do it with boldness. I mean, not like in a, well, I don't know, just with boldness. We can do it with confidence. Yeah, good, Scott.
Mm-hmm. I saw
okay.
And there was a whole big huge breath in front of him.
Wow.
Just like that.
boldly. Yeah. Yeah. I need help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a good. That's a good picture there. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, amen, brother. Good. Okay, let's see. We got one more. I guess I'll go ahead and read it. I have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, by which I am a partaker of God's divine nature. 2 Peter. But so yeah, I mean, this go ahead and hang on to that list there, and read it. Any all the time. Because I know it's helped me a lot with understanding, like, who am I? Because this is what we all ask. This is kind of coming back to my message. That, in the world, we're always looking for, there's basically like three, but like four major questions that the average person asks. And that is, who am I? How did I get here? Where am I going? And then why? You know what I mean? We all have these nagging questions. But Christ answers every single one of them. Who are we? We're a child of God. We have been redeemed, forgiven, loved by our Heavenly Father, totally taken care of for all eternity. That's who we are. And how did we get here? Christ created me. He made me. He put me here. Christ is my creator. How did we get here? Okay, Christ. Why? To show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His Son. This is why we're here. We're here to proclaim His praises and to offer our body as a living sacrifice that we could show this love that we've received to the world and change the world by loving people. What Jesus Himself say? That the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. I mean, the world's going to look and say, there's something different about those guys. They're actually patient and kind and, loving one another. It's strange, because you don't have that in the world. You'll never have that in the world. And Christ is the answer is what I'm getting at. Like, everything that we need in this life, especially the deep spiritual needs of the human heart, Christ is the answer for. And yeah. Okay, I wanted to take one last look here at another passage in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Okay. Okay. All right, let's look at let's start in verse 9. Okay. All right, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So you're seeing there that He tasted death for every man. He's already done this. Okay, for it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in Him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay, and delivered them, for verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able also to succor them that are tempted. So, what I wanted to look at here is how the main point was in verse 11, how for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. And again, it just kind of comes back to our identity. That he who sanctifies, who does the sanctifying? Christ, Jesus, God, our Creator. And it says that those who are sanctified, we're all of one. And if you look at it, he jumped to chapter 10 once in Hebrews. If you ever question the fact that we're sanctified, this here pretty much settles it. If you look at chapter 10, verse 10, it says, by the which will, or by this covenant, this will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Here we go. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, and this is all coming back to Christ and his offering, what he did. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So again, it just ties into our identity again. You want to know who you are? You're sanctified. And it says right here that we're also perfected. And there's another passage in Colossians 2 where it says that we are complete. See, because whenever we come to grips with our identity that we have in Christ, we can experience that completeness. We're complete. We're not looking for nothing now. We're not longing for anything that the world has anymore to try to fill this void. He is our completeness. We are complete in Him. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our everything. So therefore, now we can rest in our completeness that we have in Christ. And how do you access that? It's just by faith, just believing it. You know, when He says you're righteous, what's our part? Believe it. Accept it. Receive it. Walk by faith in it. And enjoy yourselves. You know what I mean? Like, loosen up the religious... what's that? What did Lazarus have tangled on him when he called him forth? Grave clothes. Yeah, loosen up the religious grave clothes and praise God for our new identity that we have in Christ. That He were complete. We have everything we need. We're not... And what do I mean, religious clothes? I mean, we're not working to be righteous. We're not working to be holy. We're not working for forgiveness. We're not working for perfection. We're not working for... We're resting in it. We're believing it. And that's what faith is. So what do we do? Faith says... Thank you. You live your life in gratitude. Faith, thank you is an expression that you of faith and saying, and what that says, whenever you say thank you, Lord, for our identity and everything, that means you believe Him. When you're saying thank you, Lord, thank you, Father. And that's just an expression of faith. It's saying, I believe you, Lord. You know? So, I mean, there's a whole lot more I could talk about. Is there any other thoughts you guys want to bounce around?
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
Praise.
Yep.
Thanks.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews that were still trying to practice the Old Testament law,
yep,
and the new believers that were in grace, and then you jump right to 10:9,
mm-hmm,
10:10. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first,
mm,
you know, that to be the law,
yep,
that He may establish the second. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the which we are sanctified to the offering of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
once for all.
Amen.
That's what He was bringing these two groups together. Listen.
Yeah.
No longer practicing the law.
Yeah.
Grace, you're in the age of grace.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
We're all sanctified because of what Jesus did, not because of what you can do.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Get rid of the first.
Yeah, boy, how about that, huh? And then also, it reminds me of what it says at the end of Hebrews 8. It says, well, in verse 12 and 13, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And this is interesting. In that He saith a new covenant. So He's talking to the Hebrews. Look, this is a new covenant. He hath made the first, what again? Old, right? Yep, well, obsolete. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. You know, I mean, this old covenant system is ready to vanish away. It's gone. It's been fulfilled. Christ is the fulfillment of it. It says He is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. You know, He's the end of the law. The law has been done, fulfilled, that did its job, and now we can rest in the new covenant where now we're under grace. And we're now we can experience again that spiritual life, that spiritual oneness with our Savior. And then being able then to be led by Him now. Because you were either led by the law, you know, under the old covenant you were led by the law, now we're led by the Spirit inside of us. And that then He leads us into truth. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right, well. Oh, okay, yeah, you want to sing a song? All right, well, all right, cool. Which one?
462. I have a home beyond the river.
Okay. Cool. 462. Oh, the blessed contemplation. Oh, yeah. Okay. You want to go ahead and... Yeah, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, good song, brother. Good song. 462. That's perfect. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, that's right. Okay, you ready? Oh, the blessed contemplation when troubles here are nigh. Whoops. We've a home beyond the river that'll enter by and by. I've a home beyond the river. I've a mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Just a little labored, tell story, watch and pray. Just a few more earthly sorrows, then to heaven we'll fly away. I've a home beyond the river. I've a mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Oh, so sweet to meet them. Oh, the ransom host above. Sweeter still to see the Savior praising for redeeming love. Amen. I've a home beyond the river. I've a mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Though the hills are stony, the valleys dark and cold, I must walk the path before me. Will someday turn to gold. I've a home beyond the river. I've a mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. And I will dwell with Jesus there. All right, yes. Praise the Lord. All right, yeah. All right, well, I'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and then that'd be good. Father God, thank You so much for who You are, for what You have accomplished for us. And Lord, we just want to simply praise You and thank You for everything You've done. And we just want to learn to walk by faith in these great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of Your divine nature. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your goodness and grace. Teach us more about who we are, who we have become in you, and let that then express itself in our lives toward one another in love. And we thank you for that. So we just thank you for this evening, and we thank you for the hearts here tonight. And we just want to glorify you, Lord, and we just want to thank you and praise you for everything. You're just an awesome God. You're a great creator, and we just want to love you. We just thank you for your love, and we praise you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. I'm a mansion bright and fair.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, still, it's good. Yeah. I'm impressed with, you can get around that keyboard pretty good. That's really impressive. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, she plays with her ears.